The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Over and over, that God has called His people to repent and get right with Him. It is very, very important that we do that. Unless we turn, unless the people of God turn back to God with all their heart, we are going to see some horrible things take place in this nation. They're taking place in the world, and we're not going to be exempt unless we get back to our God. I mean, truly get back. We need another great awakening in this nation. We need it, and we need it now. Let me share something with you. We all know the United States, or most of us know that the United States really controls the world. We control it monetarily, control it with our money. We are the reserve currency of the world. You can't buy, you know, the other nations can't buy oil without using the dollar to do so. They have to convert their money to dollars. However, our nation has taken advantage of its position. And people of this in the other nations are getting sick and tired of the way we are operating. Over $16 trillion in debt. Many of those nations, we're indebted to some of those nations. China's one of them. Huge debt to them. And they're beginning to realize that we're not going to be able to pay our debt. Recently, about 2 months ago, China and Japan struck a deal with one another to trade oil and make trade between the two countries without converting to the United States dollar. Now, you may say, well, that's no big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal because what that is doing, it's devaluing the dollar, the U.S. dollar. Not only that, remember recently we decided that we had to put sanctions on Iran, which I'm not saying were a bad thing. The United States sanctioned Iran. The other parts of the world sanctioned, putting sanctions on Iran. Well, here's what happened. India said, we need Iran's oil. So what they said, they told Iran was, okay, we will still buy your oil. But here's why I will pay for it. We will pay for it in gold. Exactly what Iran wanted. We are in. Let me tell you, I know maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about here, but I'm talking about the United States dollar being devalued. We are standing on the precipice of a complete crash. I'm not trying to tell you this morning because I want to bring you down. I want you to understand. We have got to cry out to our God. We've got to seek His face. Right now, the dollar is being devalued. Unless things change, by the end of 2013, we will be in the worst depression we have ever known. The world has ever known. It won't just be us, it'll be the world. You may think I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, I've been studying this stuff. I've been researching it. I've been following people who know what's going on. I've been trying to stay aware of what's happening. And it's not a good thing. However, I don't want to leave you feeling like, wow, there's no hope. There is hope in our God. Our God has promised that He is going to take care of you. Our God has promised that He will be there for you. Cry out to Him. Seek His face. Because that's the only hope we have, is our living God. The government's not going to take care of you. They're going to be doing well just to take care of themselves. We need our God. We need Him now more than we ever needed Him. But that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. When we draw close to Him. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you, I hate to talk about stuff like this. I don't like to share it. But I have an obligation as a pastor to make sure that the people, the flock under me, understands where we are in this time frame, world time frame. And we are drawing closer and closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These times, they're perilous times. This morning, Jessica, did she call you and tell you, or you saw on Facebook? There was a small earthquake in Texas. Now, you know, wasn't anything to be concerned about, but here's what I want you to understand. There has been increasing earthquakes throughout the world. That's exactly what Jesus said would happen. They're birth pains. Amen. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. When I come back from Texas, I'm going to be gone next week. I wish I hadn't told you that. Because sometimes when the pastor's away, the sheep stray. Be here. Amen. But when I get back and I finish up the series that I'm on now, I am going to talk a little more in depth about some of these things that I see happening and where we're headed right now and the signs that Jesus gave us to look for in these end times. It's happening all around us. And you know, here's the thing. If we have that relationship with the Lord, that's not terrible. That's not something to be afraid of. That's something to rejoice about, because our Lord is soon coming. Our Savior will be here. And let me tell you something. The society that he is going to set up is going to be a glorious society. Without war, without poverty, without any sickness and disease, it's going to be a wonderful time on the face of this earth. And we get to be a part of it. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Not just walking the earth. Hallelujah. Here's the great thing. We get to rule and reign with him. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Talk about good news. That's great news. Amen. Hallelujah. There was something I was supposed to... Oh, baptism. Yes, we want to have a baptism. We bought that baptismal, and we have been working on... We've got some people that are giving us quotes on building it in, putting some wood around it, getting it all ready so we can use it. However, we need to use it now. So we're going to try to figure out a way to be able to do that within the next 2 or 3 weeks. So when we get back from Texas, we want to have a baptism. And if you would like to be baptized, I'm going to be talking about water baptism a little bit this morning. If you would like to be baptized, please see Tammy or myself so that we can take care of that, get you ready for it. We do want to talk to you a little bit about it. We want to make sure you understand it. And praise God, it's an important part of your salvation. In fact, I've been talking about connecting to the abundant life. How many want to live an abundant life in Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Just about it. You know, you'd have to be a fool to say, I don't want to have an abundant life. An abundant life in Jesus Christ is an incredible life, an incredible way to live. And Christ wants us to have that abundant life. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 10, he told us that the thief comes. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that word there means beyond measure. It means more. It means exceptional. It means spiritual advantage. Jesus Christ came that we would have a life that gives us advantage over the world. Amen. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me because I don't have to live the same way the world lives. I don't have to walk the same way the world walks. I don't have to be beat down the way the world is beat down. I have the power of the living God inside of me, empowering me, leading me, and directing me. I have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, as I've been talking about this, I've been talking about various things that took place. First of all, we need to make sure that we do understand that Adam and Eve caused all human beings to be disconnected from God. Adam and Eve walked with God, they talked with God, they had a personal relationship with God. But because they sinned in the garden, that relationship was severed. They were thrown out of the garden, and they no longer walked and talked with God. It was a disconnect. God still loves people. He still loved people then. And all along the way, he made certain avenues and had certain expectations of human beings to be able to have a certain amount of relationship with him so that we weren't completely cut off. But there was a necessity, a need for a complete and total reconnect. We needed to be reconnected to God. Now, in the law, God gave the law so that mankind would know that there are certain things that keep man from being connected to God. And there are certain requirements for us to be connected to God. And one of the things that we realized that there needed to be bloodshed. There needed to be a lamb. There needed to be a lamb or a goat, according to the scripture, of the first year, without spot or blemish. That had to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. That's what the law was all about. It was to teach us and to train us that there was more to this reconnection than we realized. And yet the Jewish people didn't realize what it was all about. But now we do, because we've seen it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so we recognize that there need to be a reconnect. And in that reconnect, one of the things that I've been talking about is the fact that Hebrews tells us that there are certain principles. You can turn there with me, if you will. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Now, we use this scripture here to teach the basic doctrines of the Bible. We use this scripture, and then we take that the things that are mentioned in this scripture, and we do a 12-week series on these basic biblical doctrines. The last time we had it, we call it Spiritual Journey 101. If you'd like to take that class, please see me, because we are going to have it again. Jim Evans taught it the last time. It's just basic biblical doctrine. Things that we're supposed to know as, believe this or not, as babes in Christ. You see? These are just elementary principles. I'm going to show you that right here. Hebrews 6, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again. Now, here are the elementary principles that he's talking about. And what does it mean, elementary principles? It means elementary things that you would learn in elementary school. You know, in grade school. When you went through grade school, you were supposed to graduate from grade school and go on to middle school. And then from middle school to high school. And then from high school to college. And some went on from there to graduate school. And some got doctorate degrees. Well, the writer here is telling us that, listen, these things are just grade school elementary principles that you need to know from the beginning. And if you've not known them, guess what? Now I'm going to show you this as well. Guess what? If you have not learned them correctly, you can't move on. You fail. How many have known someone? I'm not going to ask you if you did, but how many have known somebody that failed when they were in high school or in school? Randy, you're the only one that knows somebody? Okay. Come on, we all know somebody. Now, it's not a shame for a person to fail and then get on track and move forward. I want you to understand. I'm not trying to ridicule anybody. But I do want you to understand these are elementary principles. And unless you learn those elementary principles, you cannot go on to the next level. That's exactly what Paul says here. Let's see it. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if what God permits. It's not saying that if God gives us time. It's saying here that God, if God gives you permission to go on. He's not going to give you permission unless you catch hold of these elementary principles. And the doctrine of baptisms is one of those elementary principles that we have to get hold of and understand. Amen. It's an elementary principle. Yes, and God will either permit us to go on to the more meaty things, or He'll hold us back until we learn those elementary principles. That's for you and for me, so that we can grow up in the Lord. And part of the problem is we have way too many believers in Jesus Christ that are not learning the elementary principles, the basic doctrines of the Word of God, of the things of God. Permit us to go. That Greek word there means allow, give liberty, give a license to be able to do that. Give a license. I have been doing a part-time job working with my uncle. He has an inspection business, and it's a mobile home inspection business. My job is to take phone calls, and when somebody needs an inspection, I take the information down, send it out to the inspector. They go out and do the inspections. My job, most of the time, is pretty relatively easy. I can fit it into my schedule, although my wife sometimes complains about this part-time job has become a full-time job because it does take a lot of time sometimes. But here's the thing. We have people call us sometimes and say, we didn't know anything about this process. So they didn't get a permit. And what they got was a letter from the state of Ohio saying, you are out of compliance. You need to call these people, and they usually call us, so that you can get a permit to be able to set up your home. And without that permit, they're not supposed to set up the home. Now, we can argue about whether the state should have a responsibility in giving people permission to set up a mobile home or not. Sometimes I have issues with it, but I got to tell you, that's where we are right now. A permit. If the inspector goes out and those people have their permit and they haven't set up that home according to the standards that the state has set, you know what happens? They fail. And they can't go on with the setup process. That's what happens to us if we don't get hold of these elementary principles. And this baptism is one of them. We fail with God. And He can't allow us to go on because you need this in your life to understand anything else that goes on. You need to understand that God has given us three baptisms, not just one. That the Greek word here is plural. It was intended to be plural. It means that there are more than one baptism. And we've got to understand these baptisms. The first one is the first thing that reconnects us to God. That is, whether you like it or not, it is a baptism. In this reconnect to the Father, we have to go through the proper process. And the key to understanding baptisms is to understand who does what to who. The first baptism we talked about is the born-again baptism, the born-again experience. In John chapter 3, I'm not going to ask you to turn there because we've got a lot of other scripture that we're going to. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 10 is the account of Nicodemus going to Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Excuse me. Nicodemus was not only a Pharisee. Well, being a Pharisee meant that he was a religious leader of Israel. And being a religious leader of Israel put a lot of responsibility on him. Now, Jesus talked about Pharisees. He said some pretty nasty things about a lot of the Pharisees. But not, remember, I said this last week, not all the Pharisees were bad guys. They were rulers of the Israel. They were leaders of Israel. They were very, very religious, devout people. And many of them converted to Jesus Christ. Nicodemus is one of them. He truly came to Jesus wanting to know. He said to Jesus, "We know that you are from God because nobody could do the miracles that you do." See, he had his eyes wide open, his spiritual eyes. He could see what was going on. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He said, after Nicodemus gave Jesus this great compliment, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I tell you, Nicodemus," Jesus didn't say, "Well, thank you, Nicodemus. I really appreciate that, you know, that compliment that you get." No, Jesus said this to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you're going to go to hell." Now, I'm just wondering how you would respond if you came up and gave me a compliment and I said, "You're going to hell." How would you respond to me? You wouldn't like it much, would you? You know, Nancy and I, we sometimes say things to each other just in joking. But I have never said to Nancy, "You're going to hell." Not yet, she says. You know why? I don't have to say that. I know that she has a relationship with the Lord. And that's the key. Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." That was basically, you know, you're going to hell unless you're born again. So he gave him some hope that there was something that was going to happen, something that could happen. And he said that you're not going to be born of the flesh, but you're going to be born of the Spirit. So this born again experience that we're talking about here is the connection. It's the beginning of the connection. It's one of those baptisms. And it does connect us to God, and it does ensure that you are going to go to heaven. I want Jesus was hanging on a cross with two thieves. One of them ridiculed him. The other one said, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say to him? He said, "Today, you're going to be in paradise with me." Now, it's obvious that that guy was not water baptized, right? It's obvious that he didn't have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, I'm sure that he would like to have had the opportunity to do that. Had the Romans allowed him to get down off that cross and go get baptized and be filled with the Spirit, he would love that. Amen? But he didn't have that opportunity. So what he needed at that time was salvation. And God and Jesus gave it to him. That's all he needed. But I want you to understand something. Unless you're dying tomorrow, or maybe right now, you need more than just salvation in your life. You need a complete connection. And this is a three-phase system that we're talking about here. You electricians know what I'm talking about. If you've ever worked with electricity, here in this church, we have a three-phase electrical system. And I can tell you this, that we would have some power in this church if two of those phases were not hooked up. We'd still have some power. Not very much, but some. We might be able to operate a few lights here and there. You know, if you've ever had a problem with your electrical panel and you had a phase go off, you could have lights on one side of the house and nothing on the other side. Right? Anybody ever experienced that? Maybe you've never had that. Yeah, we've had that problem. We had our main breaker go out, and I had to replace it. One side of it just completely burn up. It was toast. So we had partial power. We can have partial power in this church. There's power there. There is power in your life when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That power is power to be saved from hell. So that you can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But there's much more to it if we're going to continue walking on this earth. We need to be completely connected. We need to have those other two phases put in place so that we have ultimate power that Christ has for us. Amen? I hope you're connecting with this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Now, let's just make it real simple. I want to move on with this to the best of my ability. But I want everyone to see, how do we become born again? Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm going to ask you to turn there. Listen, I realize that for some of you, these are elementary principles, but they're important principles. We have some people in this congregation that need these elementary principles in their life. And I'm just giving an overview. That's why I'm trying to encourage you, get involved with this class that's coming up. Be a part of it, because you will learn things that you need to sustain your life in Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Beginning with verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Why? Because with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Wow. It's a simple process. God made it so simple for us. He said, listen, all you have to do is believe that God sent Jesus to die for your sins. You have to be willing to confess that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by grace. Confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Now, listen to me. I mentioned last week how, the process that we have created in the church is that, you know, you raise your hand, you agree to receive Christ, and then you come forward, altar call, and you pray. And that's a wonderful tool. That's all it is. It's a tool that we use in the church regularly. And I use it here. I used it last week. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. However, it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in the mall and pray that prayer and receive Jesus Christ as your personal. You can be in a grocery store. You can be out working. You can be in the woods. You can be any place and come to the realization that Jesus Christ is who he said he was and is. And receive him as your personal Savior there and now. It doesn't matter where you are. In your home. Thousands of people have been watching TV and heard an evangelist speak these words and committed their life to Christ. And that's wonderful. I'm hoping people will hear this message over our podcast. Thank you. Appreciate that. Shows you how up I am on this technology. Thank God for people who do know. I'm hoping that people will hear this on the podcast and receive Christ as their personal Savior. That, you know, that's great joy for me to know that that takes place when people hear what I have to say. The Word of God is very clear that people aren't going to be able to believe unless they have a preacher who is preaching to them. So the Word of God will go forth and it will touch people's hearts. Sometimes it will go forth like this morning and touch somebody's heart, but they're going to be thinking about it and rolling this thing over in their heart and their mind for a period of time before they come to that decision. That's why we don't always know. See, the Bible says that that's seed that's been planted in their heart, and it grows up, and it matures, and it begins to produce fruit because they come to the realization of what it means to be born again in Jesus Christ. Now here, we understand that the reconnect doesn't end there. But it starts there. Turn with me real quick to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. How long have I been up here? About a half an hour? Oh man, I've got so much to share with you this morning. I'll just do what I can do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just look at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Okay, you know, it can get a little confusing there, but basically he's saying we're all the body of Christ and we are in Jesus. Because we're in Jesus, we're the body of Christ. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Hallelujah. That scripture right there makes it extremely clear that we are baptized into the body. What is the body? It's the body of who? Of Jesus. So we're baptized into Jesus. We're baptized into the body by what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws us. The Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to be baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to be saved in Christ. It's salvation in Jesus Christ. Through the baptism, through the Holy Spirit, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but through that baptism that we receive when we receive Christ as our personal Savior. This is the born-again experience that Jesus taught Nicodemus about. When this truly happens in your life, you are going to have change in your life. Changes will take place. It'll take place in your heart. It'll take place in your mind. It'll take place in your spirit realm because your spirit has been born again. You will begin to think differently. You will begin to act differently. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to walk away from this place and you're a perfect being. No, it doesn't work that way. But your thought process changes. And if your lifestyle doesn't change, there's something wrong. You need to go back. Get bow down to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and find out what's going on. You need to be cleansed by His blood because it changes you. Changes who you are and the direction you are, you're going. For through Him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's what Ephesians 2:18 tells us. This is the first baptism. It's the connection to the Father. It is performed by the Holy Spirit. If you'll look back at verse 13 with me. It says, "For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body." This is, I want to just make it, I know I'm going over this, but I'm pressing in. I want you to understand. I want you to see this is the first baptism. This is the first phase to the three-phase system that God has established. If you get connected and become born again, you have eternal life in Christ. And that's wonderful. But I don't want you to stop there. I don't want you to just say, "Oh, no, that's all I need." You need so much more than that. And the next phase is a second baptism. Turn with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Now we know that John was baptizing with water. And Jesus came and was baptized by John. And how many agree with me that Jesus should be our example? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. We believe that. Therefore, we need to look closely at the things that took place in Jesus' life. Let me reiterate a little bit, or back up just a little bit, about what I said last week in regards to the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels. That means they're similar. John had a little different perspective on things because John taught about the complete ministry of Jesus, all 3 years. The other three picked up after the beheading of John the Baptist and talked about the last year of Jesus' ministry. So John has some things in it that the other scriptures do not have. This is one of them. You know, that thing that we were talking about being born again with Nicodemus. That was one of those things. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is perfect before me, for he was before me.'" Made it perfectly clear. Jesus always existed. Jesus is God. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him.' And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Hallelujah. Now we're going to pull some things out of there as I go on with this teaching about and move on to the third baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it says here, keep this in mind, Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Holy Spirit baptizes into Jesus, into the body. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, people will say, well, you know, that's just semantics and, you know, but listen, it is very clear from Scripture that that's the way things work. Now, the water baptism is extremely important. Jesus came and was water baptized by John for the remission of sins. Did Jesus need remission of sins? No. Jesus was perfect in all his ways. So we need to follow Jesus' example. Did Jesus have all three of these baptisms in his life? He did, but he didn't have to go through the born-again experience, did he? Why? Because he was born right the first time. He was perfect. And because he didn't have to be born again, he was perfect in all his ways, he was able to save us. And he was the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. John, remember, John said, "Behold, the Lamb that's coming, he's going to be slain for the sins of the world." So he was without spot, without blemish. He was perfect in all his ways. And then he comes to John and he shows us that water baptism is important. It's not just the outward appearance of an inward cleansing. We've heard that all our lives. There's more to it than that. It's part of the reconnection we have with our God. It's the second phase in that three-phase system. Now, listen to me. I want you to understand something. I'm not saying that you have to have water baptism before you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Scripture is clear that that has happened in the first century. People received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then received water baptism. But I'm telling you, you need all three of them. Every example that I can show you in the Scripture says you need all three of these things in your life. If you want to walk with power and authority, if you want to have the ability to overcome in your life, if you want to be all that God calls you to be, you need them all. Yes, sir. And there's nothing weird and crazy about it. Don't get all tore up over that. You know, I know that particularly in our area, they say, well, you know, people are going to speak in tongues. Well, if you do, you do. Praise God. That's your If that's what you want to do, if you want to exercise it, you can exercise. But I can tell you this, you will receive a spiritual language when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whether you exercise it or not is your choice, just like everything else is your choice. It's your choice to receive Christ as your personal Savior. It's your choice to be baptized. It's your choice to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot stand before God and say, God, if this is your will, give it to me. Doesn't happen that way. Baptism, water baptism is His will, but He's not going to grab you out of your seat this morning and take you down and dunk you in the river. Right? You have to willfully do it. And you have to say, I believe it. I receive it. And it's that way with every step of this reconnection that we have in Christ. Every step of it. All right. Most important thing that I want to share with you this morning is the reality of being baptized in water is part of what Jesus did. John set the example. Jesus followed that example. And it's something that God wants for all of His people. Water baptism is important because Jesus set that example for us. And He showed us. In every place in the New Testament, when people received Christ as their personal Savior, what did they do? Baptized them. They water baptized them. And the baptism that they're talking about, baptismo, is immersion. They dunked them in the water. And the purpose of that, here's what we need to understand. That when you go down in the water, you're going down as a dead man. You are being buried with Christ. And when you come back up, you come back up with newness in Christ. And I keep saying this, and I'm going to. It is a spiritual experience. When you understand what it's all about. When you understand that you're going down, you die, and you come back up a new man, a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's important. Let me show you what Romans 6 says. Go back to Romans with me. Romans chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Of course not. Paul's not trying to tell us that. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do we not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? He's talking about water baptism. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we are also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. We receive death in baptism and resurrection to new life is what this scripture is telling us. And it's important for all of us to be and receive that in our life. If we want to get connected to our Heavenly Father, we will. We'll follow these examples. In the Old Testament, there is an example of these three baptisms. And that is when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. What went before them? The cloud. That was the presence of God. Amen. The scripture says they were also baptized. And Peter, you can look this up if you want. Let me give you the exact scripture on that. Peter 3, 18 through 21. New Testament says this is an example. It also says that they went through the sea and were baptized. And it says they were baptized by the fire. In that, the cloud, the sea, and the fire is the example that we have today in the New Testament of the three baptisms that we're supposed to have in our lives. Baptism of water. First of all, the baptism of the cloud, the presence of God in us. The water, water baptism, and the fire, the Holy Spirit inside of us. Glory. Stand with me. Amen. Our God wants us to see the importance of connecting completely and totally to Him. I thank God if you've received Christ as your personal Savior. That's awesome. That's exciting to me. But unless you intend to die right away, you need more in your life. You need that water baptism because it helps reconnect you to God again. You need that baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to teach on when I get back from Texas. Don't worry, I'm going to talk about it, and I'll talk about it extensively because I wholeheartedly believe in it, that every believer needs it. I don't think it's optional. It's something you need in your life. The power of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you. Glory. It's a baptism. Yes, the Spirit lives in you if you're born again, but you need to be baptized by Jesus with fire. Hallelujah. Glory. Receiving Christ is the first step. Receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, I've shared this. Last week, I had an altar call, believe it or not, after talking extensively about it just being a man-made way of reaching people. It's okay. It's a good thing. However, as I've planted this seed, I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me this morning that I have planted seed in people's lives. I want you to take that seed. I want you to think about it. I want you, if God is speaking to you, go to the Bible and see what it says. Don't, you know, I'm just a human. I can make mistakes. I err in my ways many times. I'm not highly educated. The only education I have in regards to the Word of God is what I study for myself. And I've taken some Bible courses and that sort of thing. But I want you to understand what I know from the Word of God comes from the Holy Spirit, not some man. And what I teach you here on Sunday mornings comes from the anointing that God has placed in my life. I want it to be real. I want it to be true. I would never, ever intentionally lie to you about anything. I want you to receive all that God has for you. So go, take some of these scriptures that I've given you. Look them up. Read them. Find out what the Bible says about it. Because if you've not made a commitment to Christ, you need that in your life. You need to hear what the Holy Spirit says to you. Not what Pastor Rob or somebody else says, but what the Spirit is saying to you. Let Him stir you. Glory. Thank you. Close your eyes, everyone. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Many years ago, when Billy Graham was very popular, Steve McQueen was an actor, and he was a very popular actor, but he didn't live a very good life. But he knew that he needed something more in his life. He went to Billy Graham, and they talked for several hours. Billy Graham taught him about salvation and to receive Christ. And he gave him a scripture. The scripture was in Titus. See if I can find it real quick. gave him a scripture in Titus in the first chapter. It says, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but as in due time manifest his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. He told him about Jesus, and then he showed him that God had committed to people to preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Steve McQueen took that scripture and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many years later, when he died, his Bible was open to that scripture because he believed on the Lord Jesus. You see, when somebody gives you scripture, it's not meant for it just to float out into nothingness. It's meant for you to take it and apply it and to find out for yourself what it really says. Because it will not become life to you unless it gets in your heart and it comes from your spirit, not something that someone else tells you. Today, I just want to thank God for this opportunity to be able to sow seed. God's told me I'm sowing seed this morning, and that seed that is sown is going to fall on all kinds of ground. But if you are fertile ground, it will grow up, and it will produce a fruit inside of you. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you that your word is real. Your word is true. And that you are stirring the hearts of people everywhere to hear from you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus died for my sins, and he died for every person in here. As we come before you, Father God, and repent and seek your face, we are asking that you touch the hearts of people who may not understand, have not understood before what you did for them. But today, they're coming to a greater understanding of it. And they're hearing what you have to say. Father, today we give you glory and honor. We thank you that your word will not return void. You have promised us that. It will prick people's hearts. It will cause them to recognize they need Jesus. Today, Father God, as your people, we proclaim your ways, your power, and your victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.